The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave podcast. I'm Darren.
Good evening.
And I'm Chad.
Well, we know that the election is a short time away. We are your refuge from whatever the hell is going to happen to this country.
Wrong.
Thank you for joining us. let's talk about our great sponsors.
No. You're an idiot.
Shirtosaurus, BuzzTime, and GameStop.
And that's the end of my political humor for the day. I am going to strive to not even make any other references. That one has become so ubiquitous that it's like it's allowed. So now that we've got that out of the way, tell us about our sponsors.
Well, Shirtosaurus, BuzzTime, and GameStop. GameStop, by the way, is now accepting new systems for retro trade-ins, like Genesis, GameCube, I believe Sega Saturn's on the list now, Dreamcast. Pretty much most of your retro systems from your childhood, you can now either trade in or buy games and consoles from GameStop. Power to the players. So, comics.
How long before the Switch gets on that list?
We'll find out in the next segment.
Yes, this is the comic book segment. We are recording this near Halloween, so boo! Ah, scary! Ah! Seemed appropriate.
Okay.
Shut up, you. Chad, do you have anything for comics?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay, wait, what?
Yep. Absolutely, I do. I've been going out of my way to try to find comic news just to make sure that I stay invested in the whole of the podcast.
Okay, I'm going to have a lie down because this is very, very shocking, but you go ahead. Go ahead.
This is very short. Do you want me to turn it over to Darren as soon as I'm done? I mean, we're talking like 4.5 lines on my paper here.
Okay, how about I just put my head down on the desk?
That's fine.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
So, October 28th, it was announced that the crew from Star Trek The Next Generation will be getting a miniseries, a comic book miniseries, where they will come face to face with a new species / race. The Xenomorphs from the Alien franchise nice. Are the next enemy / ally. I mean, wouldn't that just be a twist that nobody saw coming? It's like, oh my god, the Borg are attacking. Yeah, don't worry. I got some friends we can call. We need a whole bunch of faces. They like to give hugs. Scott and David Tipton are writing, with artist J.K. Woodward providing the artwork. In addition to the Xenomorphs, apparently the Borg and the Romulans will also feature. And as IDW put it on their website, this spring, boldly go where no one can hear you scream.
Nice.
All right. I don't know how good this is going to be, but I approve of the tagline oh so much.
As do I.
Chad, I'm very proud of you. Good job. Golf clap.
Thank you.
All right. Darren.
Oh, I just got a text from Darren.
You just got a text from Darren? Darren, why are you texting Chad in the middle of the podcast?
Actually, that text was sent beforehand, but since I'm living in the future, you just got it.
Yeah, it's a very nice picture.
Yeah.
Man, hold on, I'll hold it up to microphone.
Yeah. for those of you listening at home, Chad just put his phone up next to the microphone to show it the picture for you, our listening viewers.
Theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind.
That's a very nice picture, but why aren't you wearing pants?
You really, know, it's the not weekend. The no pants that impresses me. It's the length of the trunk on the elephant. Maybe we should talk more comics.
$20 says he stuffs.
Wow.
Okay, that elephant really likes its peanuts.
Wink.
Darren, what do you got for comics?
I don't know how to follow that.
which part? The discussion about the picture or the Xenomorph Star Trek?
Yes.
The same way you follow up anything I say, with professionalism.
What do I have for comics? I got women. Three.
Are they binders
different
full of
types
women?
Of...
Ooh, that's like 4 years ago jokes, dude.
Just bear with
me. I haven't had any coffee yet, all right?
I forgot to make some. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Bad host. Okay, women.
All right, yeah. Starting off...
You have our attention.
One of Spider-Man's leading women, one of the characters that are most iconic with the Spider-Man franchise.
Mary Jane.
The other one.
Aunt May.
I swear to God, you guys. Gwen Stacy. Gwen Stacy, everyone, well, at least most of us know who she is. She's one of Spider-Man's biggest failures. You know, she gets knocked off of a bridge by the Green Goblin. Spidey catches
her.
No,
she's got spider powers now. What are you talking about? She's like
the
Spider
original,
Gwen.
The original Gwen Stacy. Yeah. Anyway, y'all know the story. Spidey tries to save her, ended up inadvertently killing her. Sad story.
Allegedly.
Well, inadvertently snapping her neck.
Yes.
Allegedly.
No, he actually did snap her neck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the true, caption yeah. is there, yeah.
But it was always a question of, did he kill her or was she already dead?
Yeah.
Goblin claimed credit for killing her beforehand.
I mean, the Goblin took the credit for her death, saying she was dead before she hit the water. Now we find out, thanks to the powers of the retcon, that this one's all on Peter. In Clone Conspiracy number 1, which is a story that just came out, where one of Spider-Man's villains has learned how to raise the dead, we find out that not only was Gwen conscious while she was on top of the bridge, lying there waiting for Spider-Man to rescue her, she heard the whole conversation between Goblin and Spider-Man, so she knows that Spider-Man is Peter Parker. You know, she blamed Spider-Man at the time for the death of her father, Police Captain Ben Stacy. So she's aware and conscious of everything, including when she gets knocked off the bridge and she's thinking to herself, I don't deserve this. I've led a good... And her thoughts get cut off right when Spidey's web reaches her leg.
So a couple of things about this. First off, I read this part of the comic. And I do approve that the only thing they changed was her being awake. All the conversation, all the dialogue between Goblin and Spider-Man is the same. She actually doesn't say anything. It's just all little thought bubbles kind of thing. So in terms of a retcon, it's very clever and very well done. My critique is that no one falls off a bridge without screaming. It doesn't happen.
I think
happen.
She was paralyzed or something.
Well, I mean, if she was conscious, why didn't she say anything? So my guess is, was there some sort of paralysis involved?
Yeah, I mean, reading it's actually a backup story for the main story, and it looks like she was paralyzed. Thank you. Paralyzed.
Paralyzed. That is my new favorite word.
Yeah.
It's my new favorite Darrenism.
It looked like she had been paralyzed because her thought bubbles say something along the lines of everything hurts, but she couldn't move. So it looked like when the Goblin kidnapped her, he used some kind of nerve agent on her. That way she could be awake, but yet not be able to do anything. Hmm. So,
or he thought the nerve agent really did kill her. We might have a case where everybody's right.
That's true.
Or everybody thinks they're right. Everybody thinks they're right. The Goblin actually does think that he kills her.
Yeah, but in the comic, it's made pretty clear it was Peter.
Now it's Peter's
fault. So thanks. Thanks, everyone, for piling on. Spider-Man's life continues to be terrible.
Well, that's Spider-Man's like the Charlie Brown of the Marvel Universe.
He gets rocks for Halloween. That's pretty much it. Yeah. You know?
Everything bad that can happen is going to happen to Peter Parker.
Yeah. But the good news is Gwen is back, and it's because a supervillain is raising the dead. And why? Well, I don't know. Go read Close
Conspiracy. She's not zombie Gwen. She's actually back to life Gwen.
Yeah. He got some of her DNA from the crime scene. So for all intents and purposes, it is her. Not a clone. Just her regrown with all of her memories, including the memory of her death.
At the age that she died, or
at the age that she died.
How long is that considered in comic world? You know, it's Peter like 25 now.
I think it's been like 5 years in the comic
17
world.
17-year-old, you know, Gwen Stacy, love of his life, because I'm pretty sure that'll get Spider-Man arrested.
Yeah. No, I think it's like 5 years in the comic world.
Well, yeah, okay, let's look at it objectively. It'll take him about a year to come to terms with all this shit.
Yeah.
By then, you know,
she'll be dead again.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuffed in a refrigerator somewhere.
Yeah. But anyway, Gwen's back.
Wrong comic book company.
Yeah. Like Marvel and DC have never robbed from each other.
But yeah, anyway, Gwen's back.
I'm pretty sure that's the one thing Marvel doesn't rob.
She's alive.
Stuffing women in fridges.
And she's pissed. Moving on to the other comic book company, as Justin mentioned.
Dark Horse?
It starts with a D. DC, Wonder Woman has been named a UN ambassador. So congratulations to her. 75 years old. And
I'd say that's about the right age to stop giving fucks.
Yeah. But yeah. But the problem is that some people are really, really upset about this. They say that Wonder Woman, and I'm just going to quote one of the people, a large-breasted white woman in a bikini should not be representing all women, because she was named ambassador for the empowerment of women and girls. I don't know. Wonder Woman is a character who's always fought for peace and has really proven that she is just as good, if not better, in most respects than most of the male counterparts in her line of work. But yeah, some people are upset over Wonder Woman, who they say is, quote, the epitome of a pinup girl becoming a UN ambassador. Never mind the fact that she's fictional.
Or considered extraordinarily intelligent.
Yeah.
Ridiculously empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Strong enough to punch Superman off his feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's totally focus on the boobs. Because that's what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We find the one thing about a person that is...
that has nothing to do with the job at hand.
Yes.
No.
And we focus on that intently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until we need to go to our bunk.
I mean, let's look over her history. She's fought Nazis, babysat a dinosaur, you know, fought a villain that was half Chinese, half egg, you know, beat up Superman, beat up Batman. You know, she's had a long career. Was the ambassador of peace for her people. Was also the god of war. So, you know, Diana's done a lot. Why not one more thing? It was nice to see Linda Carter and Gal Gadot show up at the UN as kind of speaking for Wonder Woman. That was a nice touch.
I approve.
Yeah, so we're okay with it, but we're also comic fans. So, and finally, switching.
We're also nerds, so you know.
Finally, switching back to Marvel in my stories full of women. So, you guys know the name Chelsea Kane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Chelsea Kane is a writer. She's written a number of books, but she recently got into comic books, and she wrote 8 issues of Marvel's Mockingbird was a single single series. They only did 8 issues of it. Mockingbird is a character who you may remember from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Bobby Morse, secret agent, kind of a badass. And she's been driven completely off Twitter. You know where this is going. She's been receiving, according to her own reports, a number of hateful tweets and messages, all focused on the fact that she's a woman. And, you know, thousands of followers, she says at one point. Let's see, October 17th. She tweeted, "Please buy Mockingbird number 8. Send a message to Marvel. There's room in comics for superhero stories about grown-up women." This message was accompanied by an alternate cover for the comic featuring the title character in a shirt that read, "Ask me about my feminist agenda." yeah. It's funny.
I kind of want a shirt like that just because.
But she ended up getting tagged thousands of times. Comments were coming in, and there were a very, very large group of people that were just being completely horrible to her. I can't even read these tweets. I mean, you know that here on the podcast, we have more freedom than a traditional radio show. I can't even read these. That's how bad they were. It really looked like the Gamergate movement had switched over to attack a comic book writer. And my only question is, guys, for years and years and years, we've hoped that girls would be interested in comic books so we'd be able to meet them. And now you are doing this.
But only theoretical women, Darren.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, see, come on, they're still scary. they're still mysterious and unknowable. And if we start humanizing them, then we lose the allure.
I guess my basic question is, WTF?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And one that unfortunately can't be answered. It is a, I think, a larger systemic problem than it is just a... Because to have that level of... that level of vitriol and that many people taking part, that means it's not just isolated incidents. It means that it's something built into the DNA of the community for whatever purpose.
Yeah.
Not saying that it's everybody in the, you know, clearly we're not making these texts. At least I hope not, because if either one of you sending a text like that, or a tweet like that, I will beat you both soundly about the head and neck.
There will be one less person on the next podcast.
And that'd be fair.
And I would expect you would do the same to me if I was being so stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, shoot, we had a moment just because I made a bad joke in German a few months ago.
I remember that.
So, anyway, what we have, I think, is the few bad eggs that are spoiling... You know, that are spoiling the experience for everyone. You know, because it only takes one bad egg to ruin an omelet.
That's true. What this is telling me is all of those chauvinistic, close-minded assholes who were part of Gamergate and whatnot have learned to read. And they, which is both good and bad. They show the capacity to learn and grow. But they ain't. All it's doing is giving them a new media in which to torment. On the upside, I don't think they can read books without pictures in it. So, you know, we still kind of have the upper hand.
Yeah. She never got any of this kind of feedback with her novels that didn't have dim pictures. So
exactly. There were no pictures, so...
But it is what it is. I guess the best way to vote against, express your voice against these kind of people, is to go out and buy Mockingbird number 8.
So. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
That's all I got.
Go ahead. Go buy. Whip out them credit cards and start checking out. All right, so that's all you've got, Darren?
That's all I got.
All right. Chad, do you have any other nuggets of wisdom you wish to impart to us?
No, the other comic things I have belong rightfully in movies.
Fair enough. All right. Well, then I guess it is time to move on to this month's edition of The Long Box.
Yay!
Because why not? Since we are recording this in October and Halloween is a mere few days away, I thought I'd get into the spirit of things because I love Halloween. I love fall and or autumn, if you so choose to call it, which I prefer. That's a whole different story altogether. So, for this month, I'm going to talk about Morbius, the living vampire.
All right.
He's a Marvel comic book character. He first appeared in The Amazing Spider-Man number 101 in 1971. This came just months or within the year after the Comic Code Authority lifted their ban on vampires and certain other supernatural creatures. Because we all know the Comic Code Authority had our best interests at heart.
Nod.
Assholes. Oddly enough, this is also the first issue of Spider-Man not to be written by Stan Lee.
Ooh.
You know, he created the character and he was involved in the writing processes up to even when he became publisher, at, you know, the editor-in-chief or whatever. But he did have some input. The writers wanted to have Spidey face off against Dracula. Just fine, let's have him face off against the vampire. But Stan the man, in his infinite wisdom, decided, no, it needs to be a costume villain. So, okay. Dr. Michael Morbius was a biochemist with a rare blood disease. They never say what, they never say how he got it. He just has it. Good for him. In order to try and find a cure, he begins an experimental treatment involving vampire bats and electroshock therapy.
As you do.
As you do. However, instead of curing him, it gives him pseudo-vampirism.
Of course.
Yes. And basically, he, for all intents, for all purposes, he becomes a vampire. He has an aversion to light. He can fly. He has super strength. He now has a healing fast factor. A thirst for blood. Very pale skin. White, you know, blindingly white skin. Whiter than I am. Dude's whiter than I am.
Wow.
Yeah. Fangs and a very flat bat-like nose. You know, the usual stuff. He also had the ability to turn his victims into pseudo-vampires as well. And yes, I'm going to use that voice every time I use the phrase pseudo-vampirism. It just calls for it. While trying to find a cure, he ended up spotting Spider-Man, the Human Torch, and the X-Men, because why not? Go big or go
sure,
home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also during this battle that he caused John Jameson, the son of J. Jonah Jameson, to once again become Man-Wolf. Don't ask.
Okay.
Okay.
Just don't.
Oh. Werewolves are Marvel.
Oh. It's a shame they couldn't get Warren Zevon to write that issue. That would have been fantastic. From this point, his adventures get more supernatural. He visits the Land Within, home of the cat people. Again, don't ask. He encounters Blade for the first time. Survives, obviously. Fights alongside the Legion of Monsters.
Wolfman's got horns.
Yep. I need to watch that movie again. For those of you who don't know, check out a movie called Monster Squad. It's from the 80s. It's glorious in all its 80-ness. So after returning to Earth from parts unknown, he is hit by lightning, which cures his pseudo-vampirism. Mostly. He reverts back to human form in terms of looks and whatnot, but he still has a thirst for blood. So basically, he becomes a pseudo-pseudo-vampire. It's at this time that he's charged with the crimes he committed as a pseudo-vampire.
Oh, my God.
And is actually defended by Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk. I'm not sure if he was acquitted or just kind of ran off or whatever. But he eventually returns to his pseudo-vampiric ways to fight alongside Doctor Strange to stop Brother Voodoo. After an encounter with Ghost Rider, Morbius vows to only drink the blood of the guilty, thus becoming a bat-shaped spirit of vengeance, stalking the night in search of those who would prey upon the innocent. Yes, listeners, that's how Bruce Wayne became the Batman, along with his useful ward Dick Grayson, who becomes Robin, the boy wonder. Wait. Sorry. Wrong story. I got a little sidetracked there. Y'all know what my wheelhouse is. I kind of slip into it when it's easy. Sorry. My bad. Living Vampire. During Civil War, he actually signed the Registration Act and was cooperating with S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess, to kind of get himself some goodwill. And I love this. He helped Man-Thing reassemble a decapitated Punisher into a Frankenstein-like monster called Frankencastle. All right, all together now. Don't ask. Don't do it. Yeah. So, basically, when you're dealing with a pseudo-vampire, weird shit's gonna happen.
Yeah.
He's shown up in a variety of offshoots, including the Marvel Ultimate Universe, the Marvel Zombie Universe, Spider-Man the Animated Series, which is actually where I first encountered him. It's like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. And then, oh, he's a comic book. Nice. And I actually had the first two issues of his first standalone series at one point. I don't anymore because they weren't worth keeping. All in all, as far as pseudo-vampires go, he's probably the best. Of course, he's probably the only one, but still. So, there you go. Morbius the Living Vampire. Check it out at a comic book retailer near you. Maybe, if it's in stock.
Wow.
Try Amazon.
Okay.
That's it. I'm done.
All right. All right, what?
Take us out, Darren.
I'm going to do that. Okay. If you are not joining us for the remainder of our podcast, what is wrong with you? Please download the gaming and movie episodes. Please do so. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, we'll still be here, but we'd really appreciate it. Not like you're going to, like, I don't know, save a pseudo-vampire in Nicaragua or anything, but it'd be nice.
He sounds like an NPR.
I know, that's what I was
during Pledge Week. It's like, come back to us, please. I mean, we'll still be here, but we'll be sadder if you are not.
But if you are leaving us, thank you for listening and check out our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, BuzzTime, and GameStop. The gaming episode.
Wait, that depends. If they're leaving us and never coming back, ever, screw you. If you're leaving us because you got what you wanted out of the comic book segment and you don't care about the others, but you're going to come back next month, cool. See you then.
All right. Thanks for listening. Gaming segment is next. Everyone's a deed for something.